The door of the mansion swung open, spilling noise and light onto the porch. Tentatively, they crept up the broad steps to the open doorway. Scared of what might be waiting, Jack hesitantly peered inside. All he saw was an elegant hall of gleaming white walls. A black marble floor shone like the surface of Catherine's mirror in the dazzling golden light of the chandelier. The house was completely empty.
"Should we knock?"
"Why, Catherine? She knows we're here. She's playing with us," Ken answered. "Let's just go in."
"Be careful," Jack warned.
The alarm bells ringing in his head left him wishing he could remember why. They stepped over the threshold. The front door slammed shut behind them. A throng of partygoers appeared from nowhere. Music and chatter filled the spacious hall with the power of a physical force. It set teeth on edge and deranged the senses, making it hard to think. Stifling heat left Jack struggling for breath.
"Where did everyone come from?"
Ken shouted to be heard over the noise. The effort left him wheezing. The party, in full swing, was like no party they had ever seen. It was an exotic masked ball with sumptuous costumes of satin and silk, finished with ribbon and lace. The masks were equally ornate. Some, made from pure gold, were beaten into the shape of animal heads. Others, festooned with feather and sequin, were enamelled with shiny arterial red, cyanic blue, acid yellow, or green the colour of sour apples. A pair of women wearing huge dresses bumped into Jack as they wheeled around the floor. He was surprised to feel a framework hard as steel under the flounces of the ruffled silk skirts. The first woman looked down at him, seemingly gigantic in a mountainous white wig, pale as moonshine. High above her head, cresting waves of powdered white hair, was a delicate silver sailing ship, complete with pin-sized crew, frantically trimming the sails as if running before a storm. "Pardon, Shay," she giggled. She snapped open an embroidered fan concealing her mouth. Her eyes shone through slits in a black domino mask, the type worn by comedy criminals in black jumpers with bags of swag slung over their shoulders. Then she and her companion were gone, swept away by the mad swirl of the dance. Pushing through the breathless, manic, twirling dancers, trying to find Sylvie by following the music, Jack, Ken and Catherine passed from the hallway into a lavish reception room. This too was brightly lit by a glittering chandelier. Here, with the guests more spaced, they could see them properly. In one corner, a man in a satin matador suit, wearing a golden mask beaten into the shape of a bull's head, was talking to another with a real bull's head, a genuine minotaur with the gleaming, oiled, naked body of a muscle man.
"I don't believe it," said Catherine.
"There's a lot not to believe," Ken replied. Jack followed Ken's gaze. A centre, part man, part stallion, casually chatted to a woman with the head of a scarlet ibis. As they watched, she dipped the thin curved beak of her bright bird head into a tall glass and took a delicate sip of her drink.
"It's like bring your own straw," Jack muttered out of the side of his mouth.
It did not end there. There were half-man, half-goat fawns. Tree nymphs melted leaves and lichen. Water nymphs, sopping wet like drowned women, spouted streams and rivulets that soaked the expensive carpet. The normal people were no better. In this one room alone, there were cowboys and Indians, pirates, ballerinas, harem girls, dancing girls, chorus girls, sheiks of Araby, paladins of Saladin, Chinamen from Aladdin, gypsy queens and harlequins, columbines and demon kings.
"Blimey, it's like an explosion in a pantomime factory," Ken hissed, for once not joking.
They pushed into the main ballroom, where an orchestra of man-sized frogs in dinner suits, vigorously scraping away at a waltz, provided the music.
"This is weird," Jack exclaimed.
Catherine laughed. "No, Jack, it's fairyland. Look, there are even fairies." The boys looked. Above their heads, waltzing around the chandelier in time to the music, were sunbursts of tiny golden humans with butterfly wings, no bigger than your thumb.
"I've seen those before. Jack sounded nonchalant, but felt worried. "Excuse me, where is the Queen?" Catherine inquired of a couple waltzing by. The couple stopped to look at her quizzically, almost causing a collision on the frenetic dance floor.
"Où est la reine?" repeated the man in French.
"Oui, où est la reine?"
Even Jack had to admit the young man looked quite dashing, dressed as he was like a prince from some fairy story. His dark eyes glittered beneath his sequin mask. Letting go of his partner, he took Catherine's hand. She giggled as if giddy at his touch, glowing with excitement, laughing and blushing as the prince paid her compliments.
"Où est la reine?" he said to Jack with an insolent smile, and dragged Catherine off into the swirling waltzing couples.
"I have never waltzed before. I feel as light as air," Jack heard Catherine gush. This wasn't like her. Something weird had happened, and Jack did not like it. The man's dancing partner, a woman in a white floppy Pierrot outfit, sporting a whitened face with tears drawn in black outline running down one cheek, took Ken's hands, repeating the question.
"Où est la reine?"
"No, what are you doing? Leave him alone," Jack protested. "Where's Catherine?" He was too late. The woman whisked Ken away. Jack struggled through the chaos. Overwhelmed and disoriented, he had enough presence of mind to bump into as many couples as he could, simply to disrupt the mindless, madding crowd. Deftly, they avoided him, asking as he passed,
"Où est la reine?"
The words became a chant, a throbbing counterpoint to the jangling, manic rhythm of the waltz. Jack thought his head would burst. Reaching the centre of the dance floor, he found his friends marooned and tormented. "Just a guess, but I think the Queen's a bit peed off," he said with a casualness he did not feel. "She hasn't even started," Ken retorted with that look which always made Jack think his friend knew more than someone should. A tiny streak of gold flashed in front of Jack's eyes. Something stung his face. "Ouch! Ow! Get off!" he heard the others say. A swarm of tiny golden fairies, pretty as dragonflies, angry as wasps, were dive-bombing them, delivering vicious, stinging blows. "I don't know if she's pissed off, Jack," Ken shouted as he successfully swatted one, sending it flying, "but I am." He stood up. Raising his fist to display his magic ring, he shouted, "You know what I can do with this!" The dancers froze. The music scraped to an enervating halt. Even the little fairies stopped attacking, hanging motionless in the air, with wings beating so fast they were invisible. "Now, where is the Queen?" Ken roared. The crowd parted, forming an avenue to a golden throne on which sat Sylvie, impossibly young and incredibly beautiful. Jack thought her even more beautiful than he remembered from his dreams. Her, like spun gold, fell unbounded to the floor, complexion pale as moonlight, lips red as cherries, eyes green as the shimmering sea silk robe she wore. Sylvie raised her head and spoke, voice dripping with honey. "Bienvenue, mes enfants." As Jack met her gaze, he felt the immense power behind those doe soft eyes. On either side of her throne, an albino peacock slowly opened a magnificent ghostly tail, scattered with a thousand gem-like eyes, which only served to magnify the intensity of Sylvie's unblinking stare. Fearless, Jack marched forward. "I want my brother back,"